hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
The fighting is fun. I don't box just for the belts. I don't box for money. I just enjoy it. The discipline. So, how am I feeling at the minute? Like I did before I won this fight. Do you know what I mean? I'm happy, if anything, that it was a great fight because there was a lot of hype, a lot of attention around the fight, and I'm glad it lived up to expectation. That's it.
That's Anthony Joshua, who stopped Vladimir Klitschko with an 11th round TKO over the weekend in a thrilling world heavyweight boxing title fight in London. The unbeaten Joshua added the WBA and IBO title belts to his IBF crown in an action-packed bout fought in front of 90,000 fans at Wembley Stadium. Joshua knocked down Klitschko three times, including twice in the 11th round, before the referee stepped in and stopped the fight. The 41-year-old Klitschko, a longtime former world heavyweight champion, says he feels like boxing fans got their money's worth.
I think it was a good fight, and I think that audience, fans, did enjoy it. I wish I would have been a winner of tonight's fight. AJ did a good job.
In the fifth round, it looked like AJ, Anthony Joshua, might finish the job. He knocked down Klitschko for the first time and threw his arms up. Maybe a bit too early of a celebration, the Ukrainian got up and launched a remarkable comeback. Afterwards, Anthony Joshua paid tribute to Klitschko.
Well, he's been dominant for the last decade and a bit, as well aware of, very dominant, to say. And he took a loss against Tyson Fury, and what I kept on hearing is the obsession and the passion to get the victory. So I always knew I was going to come against the new and improved Klitschko, because sometimes from a loss you do learn from your mistakes and try and come better. So I think that he came to show what he was about, that he still had it. But I knew it was going to be tough for him to kind of show what he was about, because I wanted to do the same. I wanted to go in there and be confident. But maybe against anyone else in the division, he may have come out on top. As I said, I have the ultimate respect for him and what he's achieved inside and outside of the ring. But I wouldn't mind fighting him again if he wants to rematch, no problem. And well done to him, because he took part. He doesn't have to fight. People say he's too old. He doesn't have to fight, but he wants to challenge the young lions of the division. So big respect to Klitschko for that as well, because it takes two to tango.
Anthony Joshua was not the only one praising Vladimir Klitschko for his performance. Associated Press boxing writer Joe DiPaolo wrote, and I quote, "Vladimir Klitschko in defeat proved mightier than he ever had in victory." In the sixth round, Vladimir Klitschko knocked Joshua to the canvas for the first time in his professional career, and it looked like he might reclaim the world heavyweight title belts. For his part, Klitschko says at that point, he thought he would beat Joshua.
He managed to get up. Respect. And, from that moment, I kind of felt that he's out of gas and in concentration. And he recovered, though, through the rounds. I think I could have done more to finish him up, maybe, right after when he went down. But I was pretty sure that that's going to be my night, so I took my time.
Vladimir Klitschko says he's also going to take his time regarding his boxing future. We heard Anthony Joshua say earlier regarding Klitschko, if he wants a rematch, no problem. But AJ also called out former champion Tyson Fury after his big win and unbeaten WBC heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder has also been mentioned as a possible opponent for Joshua. So we'll wait and see. Magnus Chisholm, Onwood Dewey, the humble apostle of the sunny side of sports, sent me a Facebook message from Owerri, Imo State, Nigeria. Magnus writes, "Big congratulations to Anthony Joshua for beating Vladimir Klitschko in stunning fashion." Magnus says, "I think both fighters lived up to expectations, and I think this should be the biggest achievement for Anthony Joshua in 2017. And Magnus adds, "Big kudos to both guys for keeping it simple and civil in their statements, both before and after this great fight." And we'll have more reaction to Joshua versus Klitschko later this week, right here on the sunny side of sports.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
This is the Voice of America, Washington, D.C.
Voice of America.
The National Basketball Association playoffs continue later Monday night with two second-round series tipping off in Cleveland, Ohio, and San Antonio, Texas. In Cleveland, LeBron James and the defending NBA champion Cleveland Cavaliers will host the Toronto Raptors in Game 1 of a best-of-seven series. And in an all-Texas showdown, the five-time champion San Antonio Spurs will play the Houston Rockets in another first game of a best-of-seven series. In results Sunday, the Boston Celtics rallied from a 16-0 deficit to open the game, and they beat my less-than-magical Washington Wizards 123-111. Point guard Isaiah Thomas had a game-high 33 points for the Celtics. Thomas traveled across the country after attending the funeral of his younger sister on Saturday, so we send condolences to Isaiah. And take it easy on my Wizards in Game 2, Isaiah. The Celtics will host Game 2 on Tuesday night in Boston. And in another playoff game, the Utah Jazz beat the host Los Angeles Clippers 104-91 to win that first round series 4-3. The Jazz move on to play the top-seeded Golden State Warriors. Game 1 is Tuesday night in Oakland, California. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports shout out for Paul Pierce of the Clippers, who officially ended his 19-year NBA career Sunday with that loss to the Jazz. The 39-year-old Pierce scored nearly 27,000 points during his great NBA career, and he's expected to be a future member of the Basketball Hall of Fame. The 10-time NBA All-Star won the NBA title in 2008 with the Boston Celtics. Kick it, Dan!
Kick it!
Joining us now on the VOA with a package of African football news is reporter Samson Omale.
We begin with the FIFA Beach Soccer World Cup taking place in the Bahamas, where Nigeria and Senegal are representing the African continent. Nigeria's Super Sand Eagles staged a remarkable comeback to defeat Mexico 5-4 in extra time. This was after their 3-1 defeat to Italy in their first game of the World Cup. But since the victory came after extra time, Nigeria can only get 2 points and therefore trails Iran, which obtained 3 points following a regulation time 3-2 defeat of Mexico on match day one. Iran lost the second match 5-4 to group leaders Italy. Nigeria will have to beat Iran later tonight in the last group match to qualify behind group leaders Italy for the next round. The other African side, Senegal, has already booked a spot in the quarterfinals. Senegal underlined they are a team to watch out for at the FIFA Beach Soccer World Cup 2017 after an emphatic 10-1 victory over host Bahamas in their second Group A match. Ghana international and Pescara midfielder Sule Muntari walked off the field in protest at an alleged racist chant during his side's 1-0 defeat to Caligari on Sunday. The Ghana international appealed to the referee to stop the game, claiming the home fans were racially abusing him. But referee Daniel Minelli apparently did not hear the chants and instead opted to book the former Inter player for dissent. Sule Muntari then walked off the field, leaving the already relegated Pescara side to finish the game with 10 men. Pescara coach Zindek Zeman criticized the decision to punish the 32-year-old instead of dealing with the alleged abuse. Elsewhere in England, Manchester United players wore black armbands in Sunday's Premier League game against Swansea as a tribute to fans of the club who died in Calabar, Nigeria last week. At least 7 fans of the club were electrocuted when a high-voltage pole fell on the viewing centre where they were watching the club play a Europa League game against Anderlecht. The match ended in a 1-1 draw on Sunday after Gylfi Sigurdsson's stunning free kick earned Swansea a deserved draw against Manchester United. Skipper Wayne Rooney controversially gave his side the lead from the spot on the stroke of halftime after a Marcus Rashford dive. And back here on the African continent, the Confederation of African Football has confirmed that Mali will participate in the Total Under 17 African Cup of Nations Gabon 2017 competition scheduled for the 14th to the 28th of May 2017 in the Gabonese cities of Libreville and Pont-Gentil. This was after World Football ruling body FIFA lifted a month-long suspension of Mali Football Federation from international football activities. The move comes after the country's sports minister cancelled the dissolution of the Football Association a month into FIFA sanction. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Keep on sunny side, always on sunny side. Keep on sunny side of life.
Now let's go to Spain, where local favorite Rafael Nadal has won his 10th Barcelona Open tennis title. Rafa defeated Austria's Dominic Thiem 6-4 and 6-1 in the final. It's the second straight week that Rafa won a clay court tourney for the 10th time. Before traveling to Barcelona, Nadal became the first men's tennis player in the Open era to win the same title 10 times at the Monte Carlo Masters. After winning his 10th trophy in Barcelona, Rafa had this to say.
Well, difficult to describe. Unbelievable feelings. Play here in front of my crowd in my club and win for the 10th time is just something that is impossible to dream about it. No? So just unbelievable. So very happy for everything and thanks to everybody.
In the latest men's tennis rankings, Rafael Nadal is fifth in the world. Swiss star Roger Federer is ranked fourth. Another Swiss, Stan Wawrinka, is third. Novak Djokovic of Serbia is second. And at the top, Britain's Andy Murray, ranked number one. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny, and happy Monday to you.
Happy Monday, happy May Day.
And happy May Day, Monday May Day.
What's trending on this May Day?
Well, let's start with who you were just talking about, Rafa Nadal, in a theme that I like to say is double-digit wins.
Double-digit.
That's the theme today. Of course, Rafa having those double-digit wins, his 10th titles at Monte Carlo and the Barcelona Open. Not only the first player to have 10 titles for a tournament, but he does it twice in as many weeks. And he's also, I thought this was a great stat, the first player to win a title on a center court that is named after him.
Wow.
Because the Barcelona Open this week announced that they were naming that center court at the Barcelona Open court Rafa Nadal. So Rafa Nadal wins his 10th on the court that's named after him. That's pretty cool. Not many players, in fact, no other players can say that. But now it's the question, can this double-digit wins carry over to Roland Garros?
Paris.
We're just a few weeks away from the French Open there on the red courts in Paris. So a lot of speculation. Rafa's playing, people are saying, some of the best clay court tennis of his career, winning these two tournaments.
Mm.
Can he carry it over into Paris? So we're going to be seeing if he can do that. If he can do that and add to his lead, he already has 9 titles at the French Open. If he can get to the double digits and get 10, he would set the record for the first player, man or woman, to have double-digit titles at a slam tournament in the Open era. The only other player to have 9 is Martina Navratilova, has 9 Wimbledon titles. But if Rafa can get number 10 there in Roland Garros, he will be in rarefied air all on his own at the top of that momentous achievement.
I would say, just based on Barcelona and Monte Carlo, Rafa has to be considered the favorite in Paris.
I think so. And even if, for whatever reason, he doesn't get that 10th this year, we have to remember he's only, I think, 30 or 31 years old. I think he's got some time yet that he could still make a run for it, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him get even 11, 12 or more at Roland Garros the way he's playing.
What other double-digit win are you delivering, Andrew?
Well, a double-digit win for our friend Anthony Joshua on two accounts, a TKO of Vladimir Klitschko in the 11th round at Wembley Stadium, so double-digit rounds, and double-digit undefeated streak, extending his streak to 19 bouts that he is now undefeated. Of course, this is prompting fans to say that Anthony Joshua is a legend, one of the greatest fighters ever, and getting some great praise from throughout the sports world and the fighting world, including the great Sugar Ray Leonard. He tweeted out, such an amazing fight with two great fighters, a lot of heart by both fighters, a lot of questions answered by Anthony Joshua. So a lot of questions answered on how well he could do by the fury of his fists, we'll say. But the cool thing, too, is Anthony Joshua on social media, he's a very active social media presence. He tweeted out a video after the match, and he was thanking fans. And he wrote in this video at the bottom, it says, on to the next one. So he's not slowing down either. He's looking to get on to the next fight, and he's going to keep going. But he thanked his fans in that video. It was very cool. He was in the middle of the ring, kind of doing a selfie video, and you can see his team in the background. So very cool moment for him, but a nice double-digit number of rounds and the number of wins that he has.
One description I heard of both Klitschko and Anthony Joshua before and after the fight, Andrew, was gentlemen. The gentlemen, they were very civil in the build-up and afterwards, which you don't always get in professional boxing.
No, especially we've talked about like Conor McGregor and Manny Pacquiao. They like to, you know, Floyd Mayweather like to have some words to each other, and they like to maybe do some trash talking. So not a lot of that, which I think actually added to this. Fans said that it was a great matchup, two well-respected fighters. So it maybe added to that in a different way. You'd think it wouldn't be the hype that would get it more excited, but in a different way it added to this fight.
Andrew, I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. What other double digits do you have for us, Andrew?
Well, a big double-digit win here in Washington, D.C. yesterday for the Washington Nationals in Major League Baseball. They scored 23 runs in their game against the New York Mets. It is historic for Washington. It actually sets their franchise record of most runs scored in a game. And it's only the first time in the past 10 years that a team has scored at least 23 runs in a game. You have to go back to 2007. I believe it was the Texas Rangers scored 30 runs in a game in 2007. And it's only about, based on my kind of calculations, back of the napkin, back of the envelope calculations, only about 50 games or so where a team has scored at least 23 runs since 1914. And to give you some context and our listeners some context, there were 2,430 games played just last season. So in one baseball year, you play 2,430 games, and there are only about 50 in the past 100 years where a team has scored at least 23 runs. So big history for the Nationals, and big history for Anthony Rendon, the third baseman for the Nationals, who had 6 hits in 6 at-bats, sets a team record, and makes him only one of 13 players ever to score at least 10 runs in a game. So a lot of excitement at Nats Park yesterday. I wish it did not happen at the expense of my New York Mets. And actually, the Mets' third-string catcher, Kevin Plawecki, was trending because they put him in as the pitcher. You don't often see non-pitchers pitching in baseball, but it was so far gone. They said, let's get him up there. We don't want to waste our pitcher's energy. We'll throw him in. I think he gave up about 5 or 6 runs, but history for the Nationals, so congrats to them yesterday. A lot of fans having a lot of fun with that, unless you were a Mets fan like me.
Any other double digits out there, Andrew?
Yeah, not as great for the Washington Wizards yesterday, however, losing to the Boston Celtics. The Celtics pulling out a double-digit win, winning 123-111. And double digits for Boston Celtics point guard Isaiah Thomas with 33 points, actually led among all players in the game. But Isaiah Thomas wasn't just getting attention for the points, he was getting attention for his tooth. And that's because he was scrumming for the ball with Otto Porter Jr., the Washington forward, and Otto Porter elbowed him in the face by accident. And actually, you can see in the replay, knocks out Isaiah Thomas's tooth. It goes flying. He continued to play. He picked up the tooth. He went over, and you could see him on the bench. He had was missing his front tooth. It got knocked out. But he went on a scoring tear after losing the tooth. They were able, I guess, to put it back in. But a lot of jokes and a lot of fun at that expense. I think my favorite though was this one because it's a deep joke. It said, if Paul Pierce is nicknamed the Truth, then Isaiah Thomas should be called the Tooth. Now, of course, Paul Pierce is a great Boston Celtics player, and Paul Pierce actually played his last game yesterday. He was with the LA Clippers, and they lost to the Utah Jazz. He's going to be retiring. So I thought that was kind of nice that they mentioned Paul Pierce saying he's the Truth, and the Tooth, they mentioned him on his last day in the NBA. But saying maybe he should get Isaiah Thomas should get his teeth knocked out more often. It gets him to play well. Certainly a fiery personality on the court. But I think that's the most attention that we paid to a tooth in the National Basketball Association. National Hockey League, there are a lot of fights. People get teeth knocked out all the time. But basketball, not so much.
Andrew, that segment had a lot of bite to it.
Yes.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the May 1st. May Day edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The Partnership for Research on Ebola Virus in Liberia, known as PREVAIL, announced this month the expansion of the Ebola vaccine study at Redemption Hospital in Monrovia. The study will assess three different vaccine strategies in an effort to find which show the most promise to prevent or quickly control future Ebola outbreaks. It is a continuation of a previous vaccine effort that began in Liberia in February 2015. The start of the expansion of the Ebola vaccine study in Liberia, announced on April 3rd, follows a similar effort of the multi-country study which started in Guinea on March 27, 2017. An extension of the study in Sierra Leone is being planned. This is the first large-scale clinical study being coordinated by the International Partnership for Research on Ebola Vaccination, or PREVAC. The study originated with the West African Clinical Research Consortium, established in 2015 by scientific leaders in Liberia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone to focus on research activities that could prevent or help respond to future Ebola outbreaks. The PREVAIL group includes the West African Consortium and its international sponsors and partners, the French National Institute of Health and Medical Research, sponsor for Guinea, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, part of the U.S. National Institutes of Health, sponsor for Liberia, and the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, sponsor of the planned extension in Sierra Leone, a collaboration with the University of Sierra Leone's College of Medicine and Allied Health Sciences. Another PREVAIL consortium partner is the non-governmental organization Alliance for International Medical Action in Guinea. The study, which in Liberia will be called PREVAIL 5, will be conducted in two parts. The first part, called PREVAC, and now underway in Guinea and Liberia, will enroll up to 600 people 12 years and older. The second part, expected to start in the second half of 2017, aims to enroll 4,900 people, including 3,500 healthy men and women aged 18 years and older and 1,400 children over 1 year old. The United States is proud to work with Liberia and other international partners to combat the deadly threat posed by Ebola to the people of Liberia and the region.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Tante AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at UpfrontAfrica.